Father, I just thank you and I praise you. I thank you, Father God, for all those that came out this morning that haven't been here for a season or have never been here. And Father God, I'm just asking your Holy Spirit, just move upon these people. And Father God, whatever they have need of, I'm believing right now that they are receiving it and will continue to receive it. And Father, I just thank you for it. And Father God, the enemy's back has been broken this morning. He has no power. He has no authority. And Father God, we thank you, we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You're going to have to understand that you have to walk in righteousness and holiness so you can defeat the enemy at every turn. The enemy doesn't have to bow to you if you aren't walking in righteousness and holiness. He doesn't have to listen to a word you have to say. Are you listening? Now, either we're serving God or we're not serving God. You know, think about this. And I know that in the house of God, there's many people sitting who have been bound. They're trying to get set free. They're trying to understand really what they are supposed to be doing. They're trying to understand, you know, figure out what's going on in the world. And then they look at the church, it's all messed up. They're trying to figure out why the church is messed up. And so everybody's just walking around in a whole lot of confusion. And God is trying to get this body to a place where you will be a witness unto the peoples that God is total and complete and full control, and that what he says he does bring to pass. All right. This morning, God wants to talk about love. All right. God said, every now and then I stop by to say hi. This is God speaking. All right. Every now and then I stop by to say hi to my beloved ones. Why do I do this? I am checking on the status of your love walk with me. You know, God, I know God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then when he started out like this, I said, every now and then, but you know, he's always with you, never leaves you, forsakes you. But every now and then he gets a purpose. I'm going to stop by and see if Aaron still loves me. You see what I'm saying? And this is what he's saying here. Then he says, my people have not yet learned to love unconditionally. My people are still saying if. Let me ask you a question. What if when you came to me in the middle of your sin and you asked me to forgive you and I said, if you do this or you do that in a certain way, then I might consider forgiving you. Isn't that what we do as people? And God's saying, what if he did that to you? God says, church, you want me to forgive you and you will not forgive others. It does not work that way. Let's look at what my word has to say on this subject. Before we read that scripture, I want you to know that you know that you know that the devil is trying to tear apart families, and he's been working on that really hard for the last 10 years. And it doesn't matter how hard we try to keep our marriages in God or do the things we should do. The enemy's always throwing a little curveball in there to try to get the families, the marriages out of order, out of sync. And, you know, I was sitting back there and God said to me that his people, I lost my train of thought. Let's move on, because that's an important part that God wants me to say. Matthew 6:14-15 said, For if you forgive others, this is Jesus speaking, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Why do we judge so harshly? You know, if you're truly walking with God, you will not judge each other so harshly. If you're truly walking with God, you'll say, God, let me see that person through your eyes. And you know, then whenever you see that person through the eyes of God, you will quit judging them. Because God will, I'm hearing God say, he will show you the sterile, sterile truth about that, what's going on in that person's life. And then when God does it, then you will pray in a different way. You will have more compassion and more love for them because you understand where they're coming from. They can put one thing on out here, but in the heart, there's a multitude of things going on. And people are too proud. They aren't going to bare their heart to you. Why do we do that? Because we don't want to be hurt. That's where I was at when I first got born again. I built a wall around my heart. You can only come so far and no further because I'm never going to be hurt ever again. I've been hurt too much. And I can, if I took a vote in here, there's a lot of you would say you have done the same thing. Or at one point in your life, you were at that place. All right. Paul never went there. He never went there. Paul was having a good time persecuting the Christians, killing them, taking them to prison. Then here comes Jesus, knocks him off of his donkey or something. And then he calls me, I'm putting you in the ministry. You're going to spend most of your life in prison. And Paul, before that, Paul was a free man. You know, once you give your heart to God, you're no longer free. You're not. You now belong to God, and whatever he desires to do with you, you've told him, go ahead. And how many of us forget that? You know, when the trials and tribulations get really, 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 really hard, we forget. We said, God, here I am. Use me. Do whatever you want to. I'm your vessel. And then we start acting stupid, saying, God, what do you think you're doing here? Have you forgot what's going on around about me? We do not stay in a steady flow with God. But God is taking us there. And we are going to be steady weapons that God can use, you know, strong towers. And we're not going to be wobbling here and there, but we are going to be strong for the Lord. And I want to tell you something that God showed me the other day. Those who you've been working with and you, who you think is never going to serve God, you think, God, are they ever going to get their mind together? They're going to get their mind together and they're going to be above you. So quit judging those who you think are not moving. They are moving. God is working on them. They're just trying to get it all together because they see all this confusion around about them. All right, Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. All right, let's read about the parable of the unforgiving servant. I want you to look at this, and I want you to relate to this. Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times. And Jesus said to Peter, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times in one day. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. We as a body of Christ do not have patience with those that were trying to lead to Christ. We think you should have learned everything yesterday. You forget from whence you came and how long it took you to get where you're at. All right. Verse 27 says, and out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. Remember, he was just released from his debt. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. See, he was just forgiven a whole lot. And now he wouldn't forgive his servant. And verse 31 said, when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brothers from your heart. Lip service has been going on too long. When we forgive from our heart, and then we don't go back and dwell on that thing that we forgive that person for. And, you know, if you have somebody in your family that's really messed up, they're going to say they're sorry over and over and over again because they're trying to get out of that mess that they're in. And it's not as easy to get out as it was to get in. And we are to have compassion on those who we are dealing with. You know, and I think we're too hard on our children. I really do, because our children are living in a dispensation of time that it's a mess out there. And to begin with, you might not have taught them right in your own home. The Bible said, train your children up in the ways they should go, and they'll never depart from it. Eventually, they're going to come back. But did you teach them right to begin with? And I've been reading about a lot of the praise and worship leaders, and a lot of them were brought up in godly homes with pastors as parents, but a lot of them tripped the reins and went out into the world for 5-6 years. But then one day, like the prodigal son, they understood, realized what they were doing, and they came back home, and now they're out there ministering the gospel. If you didn't trip the reins, praise God and thank God for it. You know, my theme is, but for the grace of God, there go I. Because I know if it wouldn't be for God, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. He kept me all the days of my life. And so we have to understand that too. You didn't keep yourself. God kept you safe for his purpose. And if he allowed you to go through some rough times, it's because when he put you in your ministry, you're going to minister to those type of people that you were before you got right with God. If you're a drug addict and God cleaned you up, then you're going to minister to drug addicts, and you're going to be able to witness to them how good your Father is. If you were into perversion and God got you out of it, then you're going to minister to people and be able to minister to them with the truth from the very center of your heart and be able to tell them, this is where I was at and look where I'm at today. Whatever it is you were bound up with, hate, jealousy, whatever it was, God's going to use you, your testimony, to bring others out of that same grave. God said, this generation has birthed a landslide of hate. This hate has brought with it all the evil darkness that abides in the abyss. You say you are my child, but you throw hate at every turn. You stand before men, and with one side of your mouth you proclaim you love and serve me, but out of the other side of your mouth proceeds every manner of evil. Don't you hate a two-faced Christian? You can't trust them for nothing. You don't even want to be around them. When they're with the Christians, they act godly. When they're with the sinners, they act like a sinner. Yeah, that's a two-faced Christian, and it should never be a two-faced Christian. Either you belong to God or you don't. All right? You can't win a soul if you're flip-flopping back and forth. Matthew 15:18 says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. What comes out of the heart? You know, one time my grandson, he was very upset with me, and he really got up in my face, and God said, daughter, out of the abundance of his heart, he's speaking hurt. He's really hurt, and he's not throwing that at you. That he's hurt, and you need to love him. So don't judge what he just said to you. And, you know, we need to do that with a lot of people. Let God tell you where it's coming from, and then minister out of whatever God tells you. And God said, children, do not be surprised when the world hates you. I forget this, but I want you to listen to this, all right? They also hated my son, Jesus, and he was the epitome of love. The world cannot understand agape love. They cannot understand forgive and be forgiven. The world is in a time zone all of its own, and without love, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Children, do not be surprised when the world hates you. And how many of you can't understand it sometimes, how the world, why the world treats you so bad? You say, why were they so mean to me? Why did they say this? Why did they do that? It's because the world has the devil in them and hate in them, and you have the Spirit of God inside of you, and that hate cannot stand that Spirit of God, which is love. And so they react to you, to the Spirit of God that's in you. Keep that in your heart. And understand the next time somebody's, and if everybody loves you, I'd be checking myself really hard. I'm telling you, I really would. Because the world cannot stand the Spirit of God. Where are we at? Luke 6. Where are we at here, guys? Luke 6, 22. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. Jesus is saying here, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you. And see, I knew that, but I forgot that, and I've been in a twit here in the last 3 or 4 months because of what people are doing to me. Then God showed me, had me put this together and showed me, I said, okay, God, I'm back on track again. And I'm glad that they don't include me in their little groups. I'm glad I'm in exile because I know that I'm yours. Are you seeing this? All the foundations of God are built on love. If you've learned to love, then you have obeyed everything God wants you to do. Love, who is God? God is love. He is our greatest pleasure. If you're really and truly born again, God brings you more pleasure than anybody else on the earth. You know, if you're a woman, a man, you don't need a man. I mean, be married, but he's not the one that makes you happy. God is. And then he just gets all the little kudos, you know, because you love God. All right? And same way with a woman. God, whenever you're really, really engrossed in God, you will not be out looking for anybody else to fulfill that void because God has already filled it. And you won't be throwing hate at people either because they are not satisfying you like you think you need to be satisfied, because God is the one that's supposed to fill all those voids and all those desires. All right? God's word tells us that faith works by love. How many of you have found out that when you're not quite in love walk the way your faith is not quite working the way it should, your love walk isn't either? Faith works by love. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Are you listening to this? You better be, because God's trying to get you into love walk. Verse 9 said, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And so I wrote in here, you see, you have to believe God loves you, or you will not be able to walk in love. Do you know how many people can't believe that God loves them? They think they've been too bad, too dirty, whatever, and they cannot believe God loves them, and so therefore they're not able to walk in love and love other people. And then verse 12 says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. There is a love so deep in God that man has never explored. But in this season, the Father will begin to teach you how to love the unlovely and those who betray you. God is, he's building this season on love. And he's going to continue to work with the body of Christ until they learn to walk the love walk. Because if we don't have love as a foundation, he can't use us. And so if you're one of those that's in between, you know, you want to love somebody, but you've been hurt so bad, you don't want to be ever hurt again, tear the wall down. Because God told me, daughter, the only way I can use you is if your heart is open to be hurt. Your heart is always going to be hurt, guys. You know, just start thinking about how Jesus must have felt. I was going to play that song, you know, Mercy Me, and he has a song out, I Won't. And it was wrote because his guitar player got terribly sick on a weekend, went in the hospital, and septic shock set in, and the man lost both of his arms and both of his legs. And the wife prayed, and she said, God, I don't care what condition he's in, send him back to me. Give him back to me, because they thought he was going to die. Well, he did live. No arms, no legs. But his wife was right there by his side. And so was Mercy Me and his band. And they worked with him. And the man didn't turn bitter. He learned to deal with his problem. And, you know, in the video, it shows where, you know, before he got his arms and his legs, he used his, you know, just his stubs to drink and do things with and to eat with. And sometimes things fell on the floor, and he was really an independent person, always took care of his family. But all of a sudden, his family had to take care of him. But he didn't get upset with God. He really didn't even get upset with himself, you know, angry at himself. He got upset when he couldn't do things as quickly as he thought he should. And then it shows where he got his arms, was able to eat and everything. And he's right now, at that point, he's waiting on his legs. But I thought it was so awesome how this wife said, I don't care what condition he's in, send him back to me. I love him. I don't see very many women in the body of Christ would say that. They would say, kill him. Put him in a nursing home. That's the same if you have a spouse that's in an addiction. And I don't know how many times God has told the women, stick with him, I'm going to clean them up. But they didn't stick with him. They divorced him and got remarried, and they have worse than what they left. Why can't we love? What, you only love me if I have all my limbs? You understand what I'm saying here? You can only love me if I can be there and be the big macho man or woman that you need. I don't like to do weddings because people don't mean what they say when they give their marriage vows. I watch them. They usually end up on the other side of the stick because they didn't really love. There's a lot of lust going on in the world. But we don't know what love is in marriages. Come on, guys. We know that the world is bad. We know it's dark, and God told us years ago it was going to be dark. Gross darkness was going to cover the land. And we know that things are going to get out of kilter. But if we stay in a love walk, it won't affect us. It really won't. And when people come against you and they revalue, you won't walk around with bitterness on your face, but you'll be able to love them anyhow. Might not be happy with them, but you'll be able to love them. You know what I'm saying? And God works all things out for his good. So I said, there's a love so deep that man has never explored. But in this season, the Father will begin to teach you how to love the unloving and those who betray you. You will learn to love back to life those who are dying by natural and spiritual death. You will learn to love back to life those who are dying by natural and spiritual death. Do you really understand what that means? You know, if a person's in deep, all right, so let's just say that I'm married to Alan, okay? And Alan has an addiction. And you know, and I've been praying for him and praying for him. And then all of a sudden, when, you know, it's my love. You know, I don't get on him what he's doing, but I just keep pouring love into him. I just let him know that God is there for him. And then one day, because of loving him and not judging him any time, he's able to forgive himself and he's able to walk in the love of God. Are you understanding this? I'm hearing God say we have a global epidemic of no love. I've done lost my place. There are many ways to love your brother, and in this season, the Father will teach you compassionate love. And you must display Jesus' love from the cross. There is a deeper compassion man has never understood. Remember, my story is when I was first born again at a prayer meeting, somebody said to me, come crying to me. And I didn't know him, and he didn't really know me. We just happened to end up at the same prayer meeting. He said, Barbara, do you know how much God loves you? And I said, sure I do, real cocky, you know. And he started crying. He said, no, you don't. You really don't know how much God loves you, but you will. You will know one day how much he truly loves you. Do you know that man was right? Because he was prophesying to me. And God does love me far more than I could ever imagine. He loves you the same way. And he wants you to pour love into other people. And remember, my other story is that from little up, I was just, my mother said I drove her to distraction. I was always bringing everything into the house, people, you know, whatever. And she said, you were just so full of love. And I married a man who was an adulterer. And finally, it got to me. And I said, and I used to buy everything. I said, love t-shirts, love sweatshirts, love things for in your house, and love everywhere. And one day I just said, there is no love in the world. And I burned every piece of clothes. I tore down and threw away everything I had about love. And that's when I built the wall around my heart. How many of you have done that? And you might have to start letting, and God said to me, daughter, you have to let me tear that heart, that wall down, or I won't be able to use you. Emma, you have a wall around your heart today, and God wants to tear it down so he can use you. He said, your heart is always going to be hurt, but I need that wall. So I gave him that wall, and guess what? It set me free. And he was right. You're always going to be hurt. But it's so much better to love than it is to hate. All right, as Jesus hung naked on the cross, and although the people mocked and spit upon him, he looked at them with love. The love of the Father is without condemnation, because Jesus' love is with full acceptance of the sinner's sin. He loves the sinner. He really does. And he wants to see that. That's why he came to earth, was for the sinners, not for you righteous bunch. He came for the sinners to set them free. God loves them with the love of his son that was worked in Jesus that day on the cross. The word tells me no greater love has man than he'd give his life for his brother. John 15:13. The word tells me no greater love has man than he'd give his life for his brother. I don't see that in the body of Christ. I really don't. God said, children, it is time you became a witness for me. It is time you took the love of Jesus to a hate-filled world. When I come to your homes, I do not see love. I see hate, bitterness, rejection, all the evils of damnation. Your home should be so filled with agape love that even the hardest of sinners fall down and repent in the presence of my spirit of love. Too many of those who frequent my houses of worship are not saved. They do not know the Father. Even in my houses of worship, there is bitterness, anxiety, rebellion, strife, and jealousy. If love is taught, those that sit in my houses close their ears to the words. All they can think of is, look at what I had to go through. Does not my word tell you, blessed are those who suffer for my name's sake? In Matthew 5:11, and blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. How many of you know that if you're really wanting somebody saved, you're going to have to pay a price for their soul? God is going to ask you somewhere along the line to give something of yourself so he can deal with that person to get them saved. We don't do that. We cuss and carry on. We keep reminding the person of their sin that they're in. And that's not love. If you need to take that junk to the Father. Amen. Quit throwing it back on the sinner. The sinner already knows what they're doing. They know all too well, and they're trying to get out of it, and they can't. They don't need you to remind them daily of how rotten they are. They do that enough to themselves. This will be your greatest testing of your faith. To walk in the faith of God, you must know this and demonstrate it daily. You must choose to love all mankind, no matter what their sin. Just love them. You cannot stray from the cross. It is the final crucifying of the flesh. Love God, love yourself, and love your brother. You know, you have to love God. You just have to, or you can't go any further. Then after you learn to love God, then you have to love yourself. Because we beat ourselves up, don't we? We really do beat ourselves up. We have to learn to love ourselves and get past whatever it is that we're beating up ourselves about. And then we have to love our brother, our husbands, our wife, our children. The people that you sit in the church with, the people that you work with. We were all sinners saved by grace, every one of us. And God's word said, never forget from whence you came. And I think what's in the body of Christ is we forgot that we were once a sinner, and that we were once not any good. I sometimes think about writing a book. I lived a terrible life. I was never a sinner, but I lived a terrible life. But I didn't hold anything against anybody that they did to me. Because you know what? I don't know what made them do what they did. I wasn't in them. And I'm not dead yet, and I don't know what I'm going to do before I die. And that's why I always say, thank you, God. But for your grace, there go I. Quit judging the sinners. Pray for them, love them. Ask God what he would like for you to do with them. Although Jesus was mocked and spit upon during his crucifixion, he returned love for their evil deeds. He laid down his life voluntarily for his brother, voluntarily for his brother, all mankind. And John 10:17 says, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I laid down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. It's your decision, not mine. I can tell you what God is saying here today, but it's your decision and what you do with the words that you hear. No one forces you to love. That was my words. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This was the greatest testing of Jesus' faith. And I already gave my, I also gave my testimony how when I first got born again and God wanted to use me, he made me, he told me I had to go to my husband. He was an adulterer for 40 years. And I had to ask him to forgive me. I said, but I did nothing wrong. He said, you talked about him. And that is a sin. So I had to go and get down. Well, I didn't have to get on my knees, but that's what I did. And I said, I want you to forgive me for talking about you. He got real cocky. He said, well, I don't know if I want to or not. I wanted to slap him. I'm being honest. And so I said, I stayed on my knees. I said, God, please give me strength. Then I stood up and I said, well, it doesn't matter if you forgive me or not. I've done what my Father told me to do. And you know what? A weight dropped off of me. And I was happy as an old goose. I mean, I was happy because I did what my Father told me to do. All right? Some of you wouldn't go and tell your spouse to forgive you for talking about them. You'd be like me wanting to slap them a good one. We have to show love. And you know what? That man, even though he was who he was, he would never let anybody talk about me. He says, she's a very godly woman. She's a godly wife and a godly mother. And he would really get on people for doing that. So my love that I kept spreading abroad, even though it was the things were going on, worked on him. And he also learned how to love. I don't know where I'm at. Should the measure of our love be less than what Jesus was when he's hanging on the cross? Is it possible to love and forgive to the same degree Jesus did on that great and terrible day of his crucifixion? Then I put down, I know it is, because God's made me do that. He didn't make me, he asked me, and then I obeyed. Once we are born again, our whole being is in him. He is our life, our death, and our resurrection. He is our all in all. There is no beginning or end to the depths of his love nature, and we were created in his divine image, which is love. How can we be any different unless we choose to be? If, you know, there's so many wives that would rather run their husbands down than pray for them and love them. I really get upset with kids who say, well, my father did this to me, or my mother did this to me, and, you know, or my uncle did this. You know, yeah, they did. But what did you do to Jesus? And when you're not walking in love and you keep bringing up all this junk that they did to you, you're not walking in love. Who are you to judge? Because you are wrong too. Forgive them. My gosh, forgive them. I didn't say have supper with them. I said forgive them and walk on and be happy. Because they're holding you down. You can't proceed in Christ as long as you're holding all that junk in your heart. I don't care who you are. I really don't. All right, where am I? If we walk in his light, guided by the Holy Spirit, then we mature in the nine fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. How many of you can say that the enemy's been working overtime when you're trying to steal your love walk? He's trying to make you look at everybody's flaws. He's trying to make you judge. And it's a fight like you've never fought before, just to stay in a love walk. Satan wants hate to cover the earth, even in the churches, so that we cannot be the vessels of honor that God has called us forth to be. The first fruit mentioned is love, because all things begin and with love, begin and end with love. And God is love. Now, a true act of love will disarm the enemy and render him defenseless. It's a choice we make by the words we speak. The only authority Satan has is empowered by words. You hear that? Our words of love will starve the devil and weaken his defenses. Satan thought that victory was his when he convinced man to kill the Son of God. But when Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father," he released power into the earth. When Jesus said from the cross, "Forgive them, Father," he released power into the earth. In the same way, when you truly forgive and choose to love, you release the same kingdom power, and the enemy has no defense against it. Satan cannot combat it. That's why love is such a powerful weapon in the mouths of the saints. And Luke 23 says, verse 33, "And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified Jesus and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments." Now, I want to stop and tell you, what I was saying about my husband. After I was born again and God took me to hell to let me see what it was going to, I wanted him to go to hell. I'm being honest. All right? And so God took me to hell to let me see what's going to happen to him if he ended up in hell. And from that point on, boy, I prayed for that man like you wouldn't believe. You have to understand that God placed you in wherever place you're at, not unless you place yourself there yourself. He placed you amongst these people because he wants to use you as a love vessel to bring them forth. God told me one time when he had me do something, he said, "You're the only person that will not go down to their level, and he needs to be brought up to your level." So if God placed you with somebody, then you're the person that's going to love that person into the kingdom of God. And it's assignment. And when Jesus said on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." This is what I was going to tell you with my ex-husband. Everything he did, I say, "Father, forgive him, because he doesn't know not what he's doing." And one day God said, "Don't you ever say that to me again about him." Because he knows exactly what he's doing. He calculates everything he does, and he does it deliberately. So my point in telling you that is this. God will tell you when not to pray for somebody. All right? So you keep praying until God says don't. Love leads to obedience. Love is like oil to the wheels of obedience. It enables us to run the way of God's commandment to love. And Romans 8:13-8 says, "Owe no one anything," look at this, "except to love each other." "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. When we come to the realization of the Father's love for an unforgiving world and the fact he gave his only son as a sacrifice for our sin, his love will overwhelm us. Just think about what he did to you, not the whole world, but just what he's done to you, how he's forgiven you over and over and over and over again and shed his grace and his mercy upon you. What makes you so wonderful that you can't do that to somebody else? You're supposed to be just like Jesus. Sometimes you have to grit your teeth. And you just do it because you know you have to do it. But once you, when you do it that way, you know what? You feel better after anyhow. Just do it. Doesn't matter how you do it. Just forgive and love and go on. All right? You know what really bothers me to see a husband and wife together? They each tell each other, "I hate you. I hate you. Why are you together then?" And you spread that into your children. You spread that into the atmosphere. And that hate's everywhere. What are you doing together? You shouldn't tell each other you hate each other. If you're truly a child of God, you should be trying to work it out with the Father. And when you go to the Father with it, then the Father will you untie his hands and then he can start working on the situation. And he will tell you if you're to leave. He will do that. Not every marriage was made in heaven. And I'm going to tell you this, my first marriage, the one who had committed adultery, was not made in heaven. God told me when I was getting ready to walk down the aisle, do not walk down that aisle. But I didn't know that was God's, I didn't know about God's voice. And I looked at the circumstances around me and walked down that aisle anyhow. And all I produced was bad. It's never good. It was nothing about it was good. All right? So make sure everything you do is God and not you. All right, from that place of intimacy, I don't know where I'm at here, God positions us to receive his love unhindered, free-flowing, and full of power. Okay, I guess I skipped that when we come, didn't I? All right, let's read that. When we come to the realization of the Father's love for an unforgiving world and the fact he gave us his only son as sacrifice for our sin, his love will overwhelm us, hopefully. And then out of our longing for intimacy with the Father, because he loves us, we desire to be obedient and walk in the way of the cross, which is love. From that place of intimacy, God positions us to receive his love, unhindered, free-flowing, and full of power. It's like an umbilical cord. Everything you receive is straight from the Father, pure without interference. The more intimate you are with him, the more you desire his will in all aspects of your life. What has God been trying to get us to do? Become intimate with him. Calling us to his bosom, calling us to come up hither. He wants intimacy with us right now, and he's been doing this for quite a few years, and this intimacy was supposed to produce true love, and because we didn't become intimate with him, true love does not exist. All right? The more intimate you are with him, the more you desire his will in all aspects of your life. As you become more Christ-centered and lay your agendas down, you'll desire his will, no matter what the cost and the natural. How many of you can say, some of your crosses you had to bear, you really didn't want to do it? Remember, I told you one day, I said to God, I can't do this. He said, no, it's not that you can't. He said, you just don't want to. Because that cross was becoming too heavy. But I kept on going. God said, you can do this thing. And some of you sitting in here today, your crosses are heavy. But God doesn't give you any more than you can bear. So if God gave you that cross, you can make it through it. Sometimes your cross causes you a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. But you know what? It's worth it all. It's really worth it all. How many of you in here today know that you have not been walking the love walk? You've been judging, you've been criticizing. You've been acting like you're the most important person in the world. You know, I wrote down here, this is what Jesus did. He willingly went to the cross. He chose the Father's will, not his own. There was no darkness in him. Satan, I like this. Satan had no point of entry in Jesus because Jesus was pure love. Think about this. The things you're going through is because Satan has entry into you, because you're really not pure love. And so therefore, Satan come in and can come in and do anything he wants to. I want you to think about this. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm not healed because Satan has an entryway into me. Because God told me I was going to go through a Job experience. I was going to be very, very ill to the point of death. If I wasn't careful, I'd start on medication that would make me an addict. But he said, I have to always remember that I'm already healed. So Satan didn't have a point of entry into me. Something I have to go through. All right. John 14:30 says, I will not talk with you much more. He's talking to his disciples, for the prince, evil genius ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. But Satan is coming, and I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know or be convinced that I love the Father, and I do only what the Father has instructed me to do. I act in full agreement with his orders. Rise, let us go away from here. All right, so this is saying what I just said. Satan was able to take Jesus to the cross only because it's what Jesus had to do, right? Satan really had no place in Jesus. Jesus did nothing wrong. He was nothing but love. So he could fulfill what needed to be fulfilled, he went to the cross, and it was all Satan's doing. Are you listening? God said there is a body of believers that is now moving into that place of total intimacy with the Father, and they are consumed by the presence of God. Are you one of those? Because God needs you. He doesn't need you next year. He needs you today. The love of the Father will always abide with you. Doesn't matter what you choose. The love of the Father will always abide with you. But you have to choose to love. You have to choose it right now today and say, Father God, I don't understand why I had to go through what I went through. But this one thing I do know. I have to put that behind me. I have to pick up that cross of love, and I have to move forward, or I'm done. My ship is going to sink. I'm done if I don't pick up that cross of love and move on. And the altar is open this morning for just that. Let go of everything that hindered you when you walk through these doors. And pick up that cross of love that God has for each one of us.